Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Harmonize with me and hold me tight all through the night. You're shining bright. I'm your oyster, baby. You're my pearl.
Hello and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
It's not Christmas. Quite Christmas yet.
No, but we're treating ourselves to some Christmas gifts, which we hope to open as the show goes on. And there's an amazing one down here from Japan that we've not even opened yet.
It'd be nice if you opened that. And then we've got James here.
James
Masters is with us again to tell us some more stories and have a nice time. And maybe open some gifts as well.
Yeah, why don't we do that? That would be a great idea.
Yeah. Anyway, it's great to see you.
Yeah.
And James, thank you.
Love it.
Here we go on this week's The Friendship Onion.
We should probably mention why we're all wearing little jazzy Christmassy things is because we're moving into the holiday season and we're surrounded by gifts that have been sent to us, so we should open a gift or two.
And I don't want James to feel bad about
this. Let's give James one to open.
Let's feel as though they've also been sent to you.
Yeah. I will pretend.
And if you open anything that you like the look of,
just take.
You can keep
if
it.
If I like it, I'll demand it. Yes, right. Good. Yes.
Ready?
Would you like to open that, James?
Sure.
I'll open this. I'm also eyeing a gift from Japan because, as we know, Japanese people make such a beautiful fuss and shebang out of a gift, you know. So
it's often a lovely gift from Japan, isn't it? So, thank you to everyone who's sent us things here at the Friendship Onion.
And if you would like the address as to where you can send gifts to us, you can send gifts to us at 1480 Vine Street, Suite 1801, Los Angeles, California, 90028. I'm going to open this one, which is from the lovely Stephanie Estrada.
Ooh.
From Oregon, Forest Grove, Oregon. Thank you, Stephanie. Let's have a look. It's not ticking. No, we're good.
Right, here we go. The start of the Christmas season. I can't help but notice you're wearing a lovely Friendship Onion sweater there, Tom.
Well, it's actually a hoodie.
Is it?
It's got a hood attached to it. And you can purchase this at the friendshiponionpodcast.com.
Could you give one to James for free, perhaps?
Maybe we could. We'll see what Mackenzie Grammer tells us.
Right then.
The gift that has been sent to us, which I believe is in... Oh, it looks like it's in Spanish, but it's not.
It's been read, that book. It's definitely been read.
It's a gift. It's a book called Perdido Street Station, and it includes a letter. Shall I read the letter?
Well, right, okay.
It's short.
Go on, Dom.
Oh, it's for me.
Hey.
Says, for Dom, who needs more books. This is one of my favorites and right up your alley. I purchased it new almost 20 years ago. It is one of my go-to airport books and has been with me on many journeys. If you like it, try The Scar next and share with Billy once he's caught up on his reading, because she thinks that you are not quite reading. Oh, and there's an amazing drawing.
Oh, that's fantastic. Reading a book. Look at that.
Book.
Just relaxing back there.
And this is called Perdido Street Station by China Meville. Have you read this?
Nope.
I haven't either.
Well, enjoy it. It looks as if somebody has enjoyed it. It's been well worn.
It's a 20-year-old book. Thank you so much, Stephanie. That's so sweet of you. Thank you very much. I'm going to use that as a bookmark.
Sometimes when I'm looking for a new book, I go on Scribd. And oh, that's a freebie for Scribd right there.
You've given him free advertising there, but they're welcome to it.
I tell you what, I do like Scribd. Hey, Tom, I've got to open this one. Don't you even want to see if there's another one for you? I will go crazy.
Yeah, you will. You'll go
crazy. Oh, it's the Friendship Onion.
Oh, you could give that to lovely James Masters.
How did someone send us our own merchandise? Hold on. What size are you?
I am small.
I am also small, James. Small.
Hold on. It's a small James!
James
got a Friendship Onion.
Mackenzie said it's for her. Oh, no. This is awkward.
You've got to be a producer here and look above that. This is now James's. I'm sorry.
Mackenzie.
Oh, no. We'll get
how did you know it's for you? What do you mean?
Mackenzie. She ordered it. Does it say?
Oh, did you order it?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. That's horrible. Oh,
that's it. Sorry. You've lost that one, Mackenzie.
Oh, my God.
Enjoy that, James. Every time you wear it,
really enjoy it. The guilt won't take away any of the enjoyment whatsoever.
I'm going to open one more.
Well, but James, you open it. Okay, let's see what it is.
And I'm going to give it to Mackenzie for sure.
Who's it from, James?
It is from April Lancey from Oklahoma City, Oklahoma.
Oh, lovely.
And it's folded in a cunning way. So I'm just going to, I get to rip it as if I'm five.
Yeah,
right?
Just rip it right up. Rip it, James.
What if I'm not strong enough?
Oh, gosh. Garlic.
Oh, that made a good noise.
Here we go.
Right, here we go. What is it?
Oh, it's another t-shirt. Please let it be an onion t-shirt.
Oh, that'd be
please,
great.
Come on.
Another one from Mackenzie.
It's
a friendship onion
t-shirt. Why is it getting friendship onion t-shirts?
Did you order this one too? Okay.
But you can have what this one,
what size is that one?
I don't know. Maybe it's a small. We're going to get lucky again.
Oh, it's a lovely yellow. The most joyful of colors.
This is it. Oh, this is cute.
Oh, it's a tiny... Mackenzie, you would look fantastic in
extra,
that.
Mackenzie,
you can have that one.
Small.
Why are we getting... Why are people sending us friendship onion? This is crazy.
I'm confused.
I am dumb. What is that in there?
This is from Jethro and Henrietta from Westville, Indiana. And they have sent us...
Yeah.
Oh, I don't
know. Oh, that looks lovely, that.
Handcrafted stationery and baked goods. That doesn't seem... There can't be a baked good in here, can
Let's
it?
Have a look at it, John.
Oh, I don't want to...
Oh, don't... Watch, don't careful.
Hang on.
Right.
Oh, wow. Look, these are quotes from Tolkien. These are handmade postcards that include quotes by J.R.R. Tolkien. Little by little, one travels far.
Lovely.
How fantastic.
Tell us, James, do you have any interest or love of Tolkien?
Oh,
his writing, or perhaps the movie? I don't know if you've seen the movie, The Lord of the Rings.
A few times.
There's a couple of handsome hobbits in there. I don't know if
you talking about Elijah and Sean.
No, I'm talking about
the others.
Did you enjoy it?
Fabulous. Yes.
And have you read The Lord of the Rings?
You guys were so fabulous.
Oh,
in the
James,
film
because I feel like you're fishing for compliments. The
whole thing is protect the Shire. Yeah.
Right.
Is what are we saving?
Right.
Why are we fighting? Mm-hmm. It's because the Shire is so freaking awesome.
Yeah.
And you can only do so much visually, which Peter Jackson did a very good job making that a beautiful place.
Yeah.
But if you don't back it up with actors who you fall in love with right away, I don't know if it weirds you out for me to say this.
No, I love it.
I'm in love with
it.
Both of
keep
you.
Talking.
Oh, you got, you, that's why the movie has weight, is because you guys were exactly right for those roles.
Oh, James.
And just like, I would die for you. Like, the whole audience has to feel like I would be willing to die for that.
That is very
thank
sweet.
You.
James, yeah. Thank you very much.
James, yeah. If you
James
had to go
beautiful.
Back
thank
and be
you,
in,
Jethro
in Lord of the
Henrietta.
Rings,
what?
Who would you have liked to have played?
Aragorn.
Oh, you'd have been a good Aragorn, actually.
Not.
Yeah, you would.
It's hard to follow Viggo, but
yes,
you would have been good. You would have been good.
Or just an orc. I love those movies so much. I would sweat it out in the orc costume just
These
to know
are
that.
Lovely. Thank you, Jethro and Henrietta. I'm gonna we should fight over which ones we like. How many? What have you got there? One.
Can I give you the
one,
quote
two,
I've
three,
got
on, four,
from
five.
From Tolkien here? Because it's nice.
Six. Go on.
It's a dangerous business going out your door. You step onto the road, and if you don't keep your feet, there's no knowing where you might be swept off to.
Lovely stuff.
Isn't that brilliant?
Yeah. Is one from
it's a Matt. Dangerous business going out your door. That's a very hobby thing to do, isn't it?
Is one
Wasn't
from,
that in the movie, though, Ian?
I think it was, yeah.
McKellen put it in a more positive spin, in my memory at least. Like,
yeah.
You never know what's going to happen when you step outside your door. You know?
Isn't it wonderful?
Yeah. Here's a wizard. Here's another wizardy one.
You've got something. Detritus.
Got a bit of detritus.
You've got a little bit of that.
Oh, that. Do not meddle in the affairs of wizards, for they are subtle and quick to anger.
That's true, they are, I know.
How many have you got? Six?
Well, I've only got one.
No, I know, but I've got five here. So we'll have to
give one to James.
You pick your favourite. Wait, two.
I need my glasses.
Two.
Do you want these?
I can't even. Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
We can read them out to you if you want, James.
No, come on. I want James to read one.
Oh, there's a note here
right.
from Danielle. Dear Billy and Dom, I've enjoyed listening to your podcast. I've been a fan of Lord of the Rings for many years and loved you guys in the movies. Hope you like sending real mail.
Wow.
the slow as snail kind, from Danielle. Danielle, and these were made by Jeffro and Henrietta. I'm going to send these postcards to my friends and my parents and my brothers. So thank you for that.
Isn't that lovely?
Lovely.
Absolutely lovely.
So gorgeous.
Give us
never
a
never laugh.
Go on.
At live dragons. Never laugh at live dragons.
No, that's true. That's true. You shouldn't.
Well, good advice. Well,
lovely gifts. No, wait a minute.
You got one last one.
Give us my specs back. Go on.
All right.
I've opened this one up.
I'm going to pick my favorite. Sorry, darling.
Thank you.
Give us that postcard back.
No, okay. Here we go. Oh, that one. Yeah. Dear Billy and Dom, when listening to the podcast the other day, you mentioned your love of gummies as a guilty pleasure. I happen to live next door to a gummy bear factory that makes the best gummy bears.
You're kidding.
I'm sending you some, says Samantha. Dom.
I love gummies. Have we got a bag each? Is there a bag for James? Oh, unfortunately.
He can have some. 8 flavors. I'll tell you if they're the best gummy bears, because I love gummy bears, me.
Billy, you and I do a lot of international traveling.
Yep.
Hotels, airports, always with our smartphones. And we are susceptible to a lot of security crime because of that. Now, if you have an Express VPN account, which we both do, it means that those pesky people trying to steal your information simply cannot locate your phone.
And did you know, Dom, even in your own house with your own Wi-Fi, your supplier can take your information and sell it to all sorts of people.
Is that right? And is that where you start getting all these kind of pop-ups and spam?
Exactly. Now, with ExpressVPN, that will stop all that.
Listen, I've been in situations before when I didn't have an ExpressVPN account and it slowed down my phone to a snail's pace.
Yeah.
I love ExpressVPN over other VPNs because of the blazing fast speed. You can stream in HD with zero buffering.
And it's compatible with all your devices, Dom. Phones, laptops, even smart TVs.
Brilliant. So be smart. Go to expressvpn.com/onion and don't forget to use my link at expressvpn.com/onion to get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN for free.
Hey, Dom, it's the new year. We're all trying to make our resolutions. We're going to be better this year. And one of the things we want to do, we want to eat better. We want to eat healthier. And I tell you what, Dom, healthy breakfasts don't have to be boring. Magic Spoon has amazing flavors that you love, but without all the bad stuff. And it's amazing for a midnight snack.
Funny that you say that, Bill. I got off a long-haul flight.
Yep.
From Ireland a couple of weeks back, I went straight to my supermarket and I thought, if I just get myself some oat milk, I can go home and have a lovely bowl of Magic Spoon cereal. It's 0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and only 4 net grams of carbs in each serving. Only 140 calories a serving, Bills. It's keto friendly, gluten free, soy free, and low carb.
Build your own box. Available flavors to build your very own custom bundle are cocoa, fruity, frosted peanut butter, blueberry, cinnamon, cookie and cream, and maple waffle.
So go to magicspoon.com/onion to grab a custom bundle of cereal and start your new year off right. Be sure to use our promo code ONION at checkout to save $5 off your order. And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked.
Remember, get your next delicious bowl of guilt-free cereal at magicspoon.com/onion and use the code ONION to save $5 off. Thank you, Magic Spoon, for sponsoring this episode. What's your guilty pleasure when it comes to eating stuff, James?
When you're sat and your favourite film or TV show is on, what do you think?
And you think, I shouldn't be eating this.
I'm eating this guilt-free. It's a Friday night. I've been to the gym. I'm going to eat it.
What is it?
A burrito.
Oh, you like a burrito. What's inside your burrito?
It's just like, there's this place called Tapatio that is near my house. And they have the best burritos. Like the carnitas burrito is so amazing.
Tapatio, like the hot sauce?
I don't even know.
Oh,
and,
okay.
And
God, I've lost my head.
They all, you know, like they have like Mexico playing Brazil football on screen,
yeah.
You know, but it's like 3,000 calories for the burrito. Mm. So I'm always like trying not to get the burrito And then like about once every 10 days, I'm like, screw it. Like last night, I was like, I can't stand it. I've got to have the burrito.
Well, you look like a man that's very much in shape.
You don't have the burrito every day.
Right.
Yeah. I'm always trying not to have the burrito. Isn't that a good thing? I like the way you said that.
Well, I said to Billy last...
I'm always trying not to have
I said to Billy last week, someone had asked us, what's your idea of heaven? And I said, no health restrictions associated with this food. My heaven is just endless Nutella sandwiches and sour gummy sweets. But I don't eat it because A, it's not necessarily a great thing to constantly be eating. And, you know, B, it's, you know, it's not part of a balanced diet type thing. But if I could...
Yeah,
I would live on that.
Oh yeah, I love the line in Notting Hill where Julia Roberts, just everyone's like, "Oh, you're a movie star, you have everything." She's like, "Yeah, I'm an actress. I've been hungry for the last 20 years."
But yeah, that must have been you during Buffy. Eh? Oh. You had to keep that. Oh, you looked hot.
Because I,
but you're ripped taking your shirt off in Buffy quite a bit.
Yeah, I was about this weight when I got the role, and then I just pretty much lost weight continuously through the 5 years that I did it, because I just thought, how many of all of the actors who have played vampires, which are the ones that hit? And I thought about them, they were all very, very, very thin.
Nice. Yeah.
Like, that's really how you do it.
As if the vampiric elements of your personality have sucked all of the calories out, you become...
Yeah, it's a metaphor for hunger, you know, sexual hunger, psychological hunger, predatory behavior, and you just gotta look like you wanna eat something.
Constantly in a state of hunger, in a state of thirst for blood. So yeah, it should show physically. Yeah, it's very cool. Yeah. Another gift, is it? Well, you're kind to yourself.
Well, I'm just enjoying the whole opening thing.
By the way, that gummy was really...
That was quite tasty.
I'm not an expert, but that was an expert.
To be honest, it's a very good gummy.
Good gummy.
Yeah.
Ultimate. 8 flavors. I only got 3 in my hand.
Yeah.
But
who's it from? Well, don't be that little kid that just opens it without knowing, and they go, "It's from Uncle Arnold and Auntie Jude."
It doesn't say.
Really? It'll say on the inside.
What?
Is it? If this is a friendship onion T-shirt, someone's going to get hit.
See if it's a small.
It is.
Why are people sending us
our own merchandise? It's so confusing.
It's a lady small. You're in, Mackenzie. You've absolutely won a watch. Oh, hold on. Mackenzie's going to explain this
to us. Mackenzie Grammar.
So actually, no one has sent you any presents. They're all just T-shirts for the group.
You probably don't know this, James, but our usual producer is well known for making mistakes. Terrible, terrible mistakes.
That's Johnny Clues.
Awesome.
Johnny Clues.
One time we were supposed to be eating the world with a quantum physicist.
Brian Green,
the famous.
Are you kidding me?
The incredible Brian Green was on here. And he recommended to us, because he is gluten-free vegetarian, he recommended to us a vegan, gluten-free, dairy-free ice cream. Johnny Clues got us the ice cream, but it was the one that included eggs, milk,
cream.
He was so embarrassed.
And did he just go, "Oh my God, this is so good"? And he just, no.
He was as kind as he could be, but he was not that
happy. And also, you might have noticed that there's a little bit of Tolkien in our world of the friendship onion.
Yeah.
And Johnny Clues is great at getting Tolkien questions wrong. For all the people out there that love Tolkien. But anyway, it's good to see that our new producer, Mackenzie, is also taking over John's making mistakes on the show. And we're opening up all the T-shirts that have been ordered by people at Cast.
I think this one's going to be a gift, though, and I really want to open it because it comes from New Zealand.
Oh, New Zealand? It comes
from Whanganui in New Zealand.
Say that again.
Whanganui.
And again.
Whanganui.
Carry on.
Or is it, could it, in New Zealand, would they say Whanganui?
Oh, I don't know, Dom.
I don't know either. Anyway, it's from New Zealand, and it's described, which is why I want to open it, it's described here as a philatelic item. What is a philatelic item?
I'll tell you who'll know.
Mackenzie
Grammar.
You know what philatelic is?
Philatelic, Mackenzie.
Hang on, she's looking it up. Philatelic, Philippines.
She's not allowed to look it up. It's a riddle. She's got to try and work it out phonetically.
It's about stamps.
Hey!
Oh, we should have got that because a philatelist is a stamp collector.
Of course it is.
You know what this is? I'm going to guess,
How do you know that?
Philatelist, yeah, stamp.
You just know that.
What does philanthropy mean?
I play a lot of Scrabble.
What? Do you?
What's it? Philanthropy.
That's really impressive.
Yeah, philatelist.
I thought I knew words.
Do you know what I think this is? Without, because I've not opened it, as you can see, I've just, only just opened it.
He's a cunning linguist.
I am a cunning linguist. We featured, we featured on some New Zealand stamps. I'm going to guess that these are our stamps.
No, no one sent you the stamp. They'd be worth an absolute fortune now. Carry on, Dom.
Kia ora, Dom and Billy. New Zealand.
Kia ora, which is hello.
This is this is from New the New Zealand Postal Service.
No, it's not.
It is. Just listen. Kia ora, Dom and Billy. New Zealand Post is excited to share with you some of our latest stamps issued on September 1st to celebrate the 20th anniversary of Fellowship of the Ring. Blah, blah, blah. It's hard to overstate how much The Lord of the Rings did for New Zealand. Production and post-production employed and upskilled hundreds of people in the film industry and showed international filmmakers that New Zealand is a great place to make movies. Since The Fellowship of the Ring was released, New Zealand has known not is now known not just as the home of the All Blacks, but also the home of Middle Earth. Please enjoy these collectibles, mm-hmm. says Ellie Stewart. And inside...
from the New Zealand Postal Service.
Philatelist's paradise is... I'm like, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, Billy, are you kidding me? Look at this. Oh, my God. Stamps. Gandalf. Are we on it? Gandalf. Here, look. Gandalf. Lot. We should send these to Ian. There's a lot of Gandalf writing
that's
paper.
That's very beautiful.
Oh, look at that.
I wonder who's done the artwork for that there. Probably says, right?
It's all up. It's all up. Can we open it?
Yeah, go on.
Oh, we're on one of them.
Are we?
It's the very end of Return of the King where we all come together and cheers each other in the prancing.
Oh, we're in that one as well. Look, we're underneath the thing there.
Oh, brill. Well, there's one for you, Bills.
Thank you.
There's one for me. That's very kind. Ellie, right?
Oh, look, Dom.
Oh, brills.
And you're on the stamp, it's you. If you're in New Zealand just now and you want to post something that will cost $1.50, you can have Dom Monaghan's face slap bang in the corner of your letter.
Could I have that one?
Right in the Prancing Pony. I'd love your face right in the Prancing Pony.
Of course you would. I'll take that.
Tell you what, Liv Tyler's 280. You're only 150.
That's for you, and that's for you.
Thanks very much.
I have the one that's me on it? Because I've not got the one that's me on it.
Right, hold on then.
I'd love me.
Yeah, of course you would. There, look.
Oh, that's me. That's amazing. All right, well, should we get back to the show? Because now we're losing it a little bit.
Yeah, we're enjoying ourselves, so that's the main thing, isn't it, James?
A right Christmas mess.
Can I just go a little more into theatre, if you don't mind?
Yeah.
Because we only got to the point where you'd started your theatrical company.
Yeah.
Did you start it to act in plays? Was that your immediate, like, why am I starting a theatre company?
I was in a production of... I think it's Brian Friel's Lovers. And the first act is two young people in a boat. And then the second act is that they died. it's a really cute first act and a really sad second act. And we were, my then wife and I, we were playing the lovers. And it was really radically misdirected. It was really, really bad. And she and I put our heads together and kind of directed ourselves. And... we opened the play and the reviews were very good. And they said that the first act was really very wonderful. And we thought, we should produce our own theater. We could screw it up this easily. And like, we're not going to do worse than what that was.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we did two one-act plays right across from Steppenwolf. Now, the great thing about Chicago is that Steppenwolf is this amazing theater company.
Mm-hmm.
And they tone the entire theatrical world in Chicago. They have this brazen, fiery, fearless, almost feral kind of theater. And very arresting, very, very, very brave. And they started in a church basement. And then they became like a world famous theater company. And so everyone's like, well, Steppenwolf started in a theater basement. Let's just go into some church basement and start our own theater company. And everyone does it. And then we did the same. But we rented an actual theater right across the street from Steppenwolf during the summer. And we were surprised by how cheap it was. And when it came to load in our set, we discovered that there was no air conditioning and it was like 110 degrees in that theater, which is why it was so cheap. And so we bought an air conditioning unit and I thought that would fix it, you know, but it didn't do anything. It didn't help at all. And I had directed the play and then I was across town acting in another play and I wasn't around every night. But apparently it got so bad, the actors were sweating so bad that at one point one of the actresses just lost so much salt from sweating that she just froze up and keeled over on the set.
Mm.
And luckily there were a couple of people from Steppenwolf in the audience, and they called Steppenwolf's doctor to come in and look at her and basically save her.
Wow.
And yeah, but that actually started a whole relationship with Steppenwolf. And luckily the actress was okay. She was a personal friend.
Yeah, yeah.
And the friendship survived and the actress survived. But that and the reviews were god awful. I was not a good director. I made every mistake you could possibly make.
Right.
And so when it came time for our second play, I decided not to direct. And we got an actual director for that. I don't know how much time we have, but it's a good story, dude.
No, please.
We love good stories. This is what we're here for.
We're here for stories. Today's episode is sponsored by Honey. Now, Dom, we all shop online.
True.
And we've all seen how that promo code field taunt us at the checkout. But thanks to Honey, manually searching for the coupon codes is now a thing of the past.
Mm-hmm.
Honey is the free browser extension that scours the internet for promo codes and applies the best one it finds to your cart. Honey supports over 30,000 stores online. They range from sites that have tech and gaming products to popular fashion brands and even food delivery.
It's so easy, Dom. Imagine you're shopping on one of your favorite sites, and when you get to checkout, the Honey button drops down, and all you have to do is apply coupons. Mm. Wait a few seconds. Honey searches for coupons it can find for that site. If Honey finds a working coupon, boom, you'll watch the price drop.
Absolutely fantastic. So let's say I'm looking for a pair of headphones.
I like it.
I find something. I think, ooh, it's a little bit more money than I would hope to buy. I click my little Honey thing.
Yeah.
It takes off $15. I think, bang, I'm going to have that. No problem.
Fantastic, Dom. Honey has found over 17 million members and over $2 billion in savings.
If you don't already have Honey, you could be straight up missing out on free savings. It's literally free and installs in seconds. And by getting it, you'll be doing yourself a solid and supporting this podcast. Get Honey for free at joinhoney.com/onion.
That's joinhoney.com/onion.
From websites and online stores to marketing tools and analytics, Squarespace is the all-in-one platform to build a beautiful online presence and run your business.
I was well impressed by all the product features that Squarespace offers. But what I really loved is the social sharing tool. Because if there's one way to get seen these days, it's through social media. Now, the Squarespace blogging platform supports a configurable sharing button, letting your visitors share content on Facebook, Twitter, Google, LinkedIn, StumbleUpon, Reddit, Pinterest, Tumblr, all of that stuff.
That's amazing. For me, the analytics were really helpful because you actually get to see who's visiting your site and how they're interacting with your content by looking at page views, traffic sources, time on site, most read content, audience geography, and more. They also have a feature where you can collect donations. It's as easy to support a business with one press of a button and donate with PayPal, Apple Pay, Stripe, and Venmo.
Head to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/onion to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
We're doing a play about ancient Ephesus, and it takes place in a tomb called A Phoenix Too Frequent, a Christopher Fry play about a woman in ancient Greece. When the husband dies, the woman is supposed to go with the body into a tomb and die there, starve herself to death. So this woman has gone down to do this. She's taken her personal servant with her to accompany her, and they're both going to basically starve to death in the tomb. And there's a soldier that is guarding the body, and he gets tired, and he goes into the tomb to rest, and the woman and he fall in love. Oh. And she decides eventually to come out of the tomb. So the whole thing is choose life. Don't choose death, basically.
Right, yeah.
And it's a very wonderful play. It was written right after World War II when actually, Tolkien, I think, is part of this. Yes, ooh. Tolkien is part of this movement with Christopher Fry and Lewis Carroll.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, England is, as you know, bombed out, leveled, and they were trying to awaken what is strong about UK culture. What do we got? What can we build on?
Yeah.
Part of it was language. And so it's in verse. And it's a, so it's a modern play in verse, at any rate. Beautiful play. And so my scenic designer takes me to a well-known theater, theater space called the Café Voltaire, that we can afford to rent. And I walk into the space and it's just cavernous. It's just like a half of a football stadium with like 25-foot ceilings. And I laugh at him and I say, Greg, I can't afford to fill this space. I can't build a set big enough to fill this. All I can afford would just be dwarfed by this room. We can't do it here. And he said, don't worry about it. Just if you can get me 100 sheets, this is what we'll do. We will paint the sheets to look like rose marble. We'll make wire hoops and we'll have these huge columns that cascade down, and then I'll gather them at the end. And so they'll be both like rose marble and linen. And we'll fold the linen and we'll make it look like a tomb, and it will glow. It will be fabulous. Just get me the sheets. And I'm like, I think I can do that. So I went around to hotels asking hotels, when are you changing your sheets out?
Right. Yeah.
And the first one I asked, they're like, we just did. We have all these sheets. And I was like, can I buy them? They're like, we were going to throw them away. How much can you pay? And I was like, can I get them for $1 a sheet? And they're like, sure. And so we got the sheets. We spent all the whole winter on our knees painting these things, 100 of them. Each one was a little piece of art. And about a week before we were supposed to open, we spent all the money on our actors, all the money to rent the script, you know, the rights to the play, all the advertising budget, we were already advertising. And a week before, the owner of the Café Voltaire said, I'm so sorry, I forgot to mention, we're moving downtown Chicago into a very small space on Halsted, and there's no theater in the new space. I'll have to give you your money back. I'm so sorry. And we're like, you've sunk the theater. The money we were giving you is only a small part of what we have spent.
Yeah.
You're killing us. And he's like, well, so sorry. And I was like, can I come to your space and I'll let you know if you have a theatrical space in there? He's like, if you want to, but there's nothing. So I went down there, and sure enough, there was nothing. But there was one door that he didn't show me. And I said, what's behind that door? He's like, oh, it's a basement, but it's horrible down there. You don't want to see that. And I was like, can you please? And so down this dank stairwell into this very small, long room with the ceiling was about 6 feet. So if you were above 6 feet, you had to duck. And it was covered in about that much dust.
You'd be all right.
About that much dust over everything. It hadn't been cleaned in 30 or 40 years.
Yeah.
It was just god awful. And I was just like, oh, wow, this is not good. But I took Greg to it and see what he thought about it. And he was like, this is perfect. It's already a tomb.
It's already a tomb, yeah.
It's amazing. Yeah. This is, we got to clean it out. But I mean, we were not going to need all the sheets, but it's going to be perfect. Let's take it. And we took it. We got all of our friends. We had to muck out all of the grime. There was no drainage. So we had to carry pails of water down the stairs, muck it out slowly, and carry it. It was a lot of work. And what we did it, we opened, and we got massively great reviews. And then halfway into the 4 week run of the show, the owner said, I'm so sorry, I forgot to mention, I have to do plumbing work down there. So we got to close you down. I guess I'll give you half your money back. And I was again saying, you're killing us. We had to recoup. There's so much more cost than just you. You've got to put off your plumbing. Just 2 weeks. He's like, nope, can't do it. Sorry. And so I'm talking with him, and there's this beautiful bar that he's using as a coffee bar, and he's behind it. And I leap at him to throttle him. I'm going to try to kill him. I just see red. And my wife, my producing partner, my then wife, and then Greg pull me back from the guy and keep me from going to jail. And we continue talking, and the guy is not being very nice about this. And my wife sees red. She leaps over the bar trying to kill him. Greg and I have to pull her back off. But ultimately, we only got a 2 week run out of it. But it did put us on the map.
Wow.
Suddenly, we were known as someone, because it's not an easy play to do.
Mm.
And the
constraints of how you did it probably put you on the map as well, right?
Yeah. And apparently, that was used as a theater space for. Like 20 years, were still doing theater down in that little basement.
And how long did you do theater with that company there?
Moved to Chicago, and I think we were producing for another 3 or 4 years.
Oh, great.
Maybe 3.
And what's your memory of that time? I'm sure you had no money.
Oh, no. No.
Where were you living?
We were sleeping in the back of the theater.
Wow.
On a little futon, eating beans. Well, I would make a big pot of beans.
Not lima, I hope.
No lima.
No, never lima.
But yeah, just a big pot of beans. And I remember, you know, just walking past the pot of beans, dipping my coffee mug in it and just not even breaking stride and going out and building the sets and doing everything.
And as far as looking back now, on a kind of happiness scale, did you was that a fun time? Was that
a
good time?
Everything. It was everything, because if we had a couple of shows that didn't sell, we would go homeless because we were living there too.
Yeah.
So the pressure was kind of immense. But I just remember it as being a very intense time.
Yeah, consuming.
Everything, both good and bad.
Right.
You know, just being very much alive.
Yeah. And creating, purpose. Always creating things.
Yeah. Right? I remember we were the first theater company to talk Dr. Seuss's widow into releasing the rights for performance. They'd been locked down for like 30 years because of a cartoon that Dr. Seuss did not like, made from one of his stories. And so there was no one was allowed to do it. And we were writing letters back and forth for like 2 years. And finally she said, okay, I do trust you. And so we did a Christmas show of The Grinch and other stories for Christmas. And so we had like $7,000 per show to produce. So and that's including rent. So rent was like $2,000. So there's very little money. And I had to, as I didn't direct it or I wasn't acting in it, but I was producing it. So I had to make all the props. And for Dr. Seuss, it's all Effelump Feasles and bangs and all this stuff. And I'm just making it out of whatever is lying around the theater, just whatever wire, whatever, and painting it. And it's all coming out pretty well. It's working. But I need an 18-foot-tall war elephant for one of the pieces to come out on stage. And I keep telling the director, don't worry about it. I got you. We'll figure it out. It's okay. And he, exactly.
Yeah.
And the weeks are going by in rehearsal and he keeps asking about the war elephant. I'm like, oh, I'll get to it. I'll get to it. I'm busy right now. I can't even afford to make a one dimensional cutout of an 18-foot-tall war.
Yeah.
That's way beyond my budget.
Right.
And I don't know what I'm going to do. And finally, we're in technical rehearsals. We're about 4 days away from opening and he just turns around and he just goes, like that. And in that moment, I got an idea and I said, okay, give me a flat, which is just a piece of, you know, on a frame, a black fabric that hides stuff. Give me a pulley, give me a rope, give me a bucket and whatever metal is lying around. And like, okay.
Okay.
And like, they got it all together. And it's like, okay, we're going to screw the pulley into the roof, and run the rope through it on one side of the, tie the bucket, put all the metal in the bucket. I want four actors to go on stage holding this as if pulling a big weight. As soon as they're established on stage, I want them all in unison to go, and then in unison, everyone else on the stage look up 18 feet and go, like that.
Oh, brilliant.
And it turned into like a high point of like, that was like a house laugh and clap.
Great.
Every night when that happened.
But that's theater, isn't it? That's theater. It's easier to actually make the thing, but it's the imagination of not making it, and how else do we
use people's
imagination?
Yeah, because you're in order to enjoy theater, you have to kind of make a leap.
Yeah,
that we are going to go to France and Agincourt, and we are going to follow Henry the Fifth, and we're going to make it an imaginative buy-in on this process. So they're already kind of over the mountain.
Yeah. They want to play.
Yeah, they want to buy it.
Yeah, yeah.
And so you have a lot of ways to help make illusions and stuff.
Yeah.
Because they're already
kind of in. All for a muse of fire.
Yeah,
comes on and says, when you see one horse, imagine there's a thousand, right?
Yeah,
you've got
exactly.
to.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's brilliant.
And what's that thing? Necessity is the mother of invention, right?
It's true. I mean, yeah.
When you're backed up against the wall.
To that time before you would come up with that.
Yeah. Robert Rodriguez is one of my favorite directors.
Yeah.
He did Sin City. Mm. He's done a lot of really good stuff. And he said that if you take really talented people and deny them time and money, you get magic.
Mm.
And the trick is, the people can't find out that you actually have money that you're not giving them. You have to have not have money.
Mm.
And he would go for a smaller budget than he could get.
Mm.
So he could go to his people and say, this is as much money as we have. We have to figure it out.
Mm.
And I kind of, I learned that by necessity rather than deciding it, but it's really true. Mm. But you have to have talented people. But I remember when we produced the first album for Ghost the Robot, I was fronting the money for the band because I was on a TV show, I had the money. But I was like, I ain't pouring a lot of money in here. Mm. I am just going to be, everyone's going to hate me, but I'm going to be like, record it. You got three takes, we're moving on.
Yeah, yeah.
No, we don't get an extra track. No, you can't lay that extra instrument and just go. Mm. And I was really not well liked at that point. But we got this really good, driving, ferocious, dirty rock album out of that. Mm-hmm.
It's like, I think that is one of the more fascinating things about this Peter Jackson Beatles doc, 6.5 hour Beatles doc that has just come out, is that they are now the biggest band in the world, and they have been for the last 8-9 years, and there are no limits in terms of the amount of time that they take making a record, or the budget, or their freedoms. And what you find with these four brilliant artists is, because they have a blank canvas to do anything, they don't know what to do, because they can do anything that they want, as opposed to back when they were younger and much more impressionable, George Martin saying to them, do you have 11 great songs? Yeah. Okay, record 11 great songs. Let's go. You got 4 days and you're out. But with those guys, they were like, you've got, you know, 3 months. Do whatever you want. So they spend days and days on Get Back and The Long and Winding Road and Don't Let Me Down. And almost every version of the song is brilliant. And you think, why aren't you moving on? They're not moving on because no one's telling them.
But I think that's the thing in that time, wasn't it, though, that they did give themselves an end. That I think they needed to do that because...
For the film, yeah.
Well, I think because they, as you say, Dom, that they could have done anything. So they went into a studio and said, okay, we've got till the 28th.
Yeah.
And we have to write the songs in this room. And we have to be able to play them live. Because at that point, they were overdubbing so much and inventing ways to overdub and, oh, let's bring in this person and we'll do this and do that. Whereas they said, okay, it's us playing live. So they did, they restricted themselves.
Yeah. I think that's their intention coming in. McCartney, who seems to be at that point the driving force, because other people are just like, George Harrison doesn't seem to care that much about the Beatles and Lennon's.
We don't want to spoil this for you.
Yeah, yeah. But I think Paul McCartney's like, look, because what we've learned thus far with the Beatles, the only way that we make an album now is to give us limitations. But I think it fractures apart quite quickly because, you know, Lennon and Harrison and Ringo Starr to a lesser degree are just like, we don't want rules. We don't want limitations. I'm John Lennon. I want to sit here for 3 weeks futzing around, you know. It's a fascinating doc.
It's a good idea, but can you hold to it with people that are that powerful?
That powerful and that. Yeah.
But you're right. Like I think the first album that the Beatles recorded, they recorded all the tracks in one day.
Yeah, Please Me. Yeah,
right.
All in one day.
Just lay it all out.
Because they'd just been playing them for so long and they knew it and they just, wow. Yeah.
So amazing. So tight and incredible.
Talking about music, you brought us some music, have you?
And a funky
to
song.
Say if it's funky.
Oh, yeah. Because I have it on my phone.
I think we probably it here, do we, Mackenzie? Is it funky?
Oh, it's Dr. Funkenstein by Parliament.
Oh, baby.
Is that funky?
Look at that cover.
Whoa. They say the bigger the headache, the bigger the pill, baby. Call me the big pill. Dr. Funkenstein, the disco fiend with the monster sound. The cool goo with the bum transplant.
Wow, look at the artwork for this album as well. The front and back, incredible. Mm-hmm. Costumes, amazing.
That looks like something you might wear, Dom.
The one on the right?
Yeah.
I would love to wear that.
Do you know, I went to dinner once with Dom and he arrived dressed, his upper half dressed as Darth Vader with the cape and everything.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I had the cape.
Yeah.
Well, it was.
And you were on crutches, I remember.
I'd broken my foot at the time, yeah. It was an Adidas Star Wars tie-in. Adidas do tie-ins every year. They've done a Muppet one, a Sesame Street one, a Lego one, and at one point, inevitably, they did a Star Wars one, and I went in and bought the shoes and the sweatshirt and the hoodie which was a Darth Vader hoodie, and it came with its own cape and lightsaber kind of wallet. It was brilliant.
You look fantastic.
I love a cape. I wish we were living in a time where we wore capes more often. Love capes, me. I mean, that's about as funky as it comes, really, isn't it?
I mean, Parliament, Dr. Funkenstein.
That's as funky as I can make it.
Right? Yeah.
I mean, Parliament's known as being one of the funkiest funk bands in the funk era.
It's the root.
And we rate these as well. Uh-huh. And we rate them.
Thank you.
If you could, please, Dom.
We rate them based on a low level of funk, which is Brahms, right up to the highest level of funk, which is Prince at his funkiest purple moment. Mm-hmm. And anything in between.
Where would you put this?
I personally would give that a Stevie Wonder Superstition level of funk.
That's pretty funky
for me. Is it funky for you?
Do you know what? It was so funky for me that I have to put it as Parliament.
Oh, Parliament funk?
Because Parliament is so funky, you can't call it any other type
they
of
are,
funk.
They are funk. There's no other way to describe them. They are.
It's pure, uncut funk.
Yeah. There's something about that
like
kind
a
of
mushroom
funk as well.
Under a carpet
right?
for months.
Yeah.
Funky.
It's unapologetically funky. Yeah.
It's like from another planet funky.
Yeah, well, look at the artwork.
Where did that even come from?
I don't
Drugs, know. I would say.
Would you?
Wouldn't you?
It was absolutely fantastic.
James,
thanks
what level of funk would you give it?
11 on a scale. Yeah, on right 1 up, to 10, yeah. definitely 11.
All
that
right.
Pretty funky.
Yeah. That's pretty funky. That's
from
a great
planet
score.
Planet of funk.
I think we should let James get back to his PlayStation. And if no one has ever seen the show Vidiots, not Vidiowits, Vidiots.
Vidiots.
Please check it out because I thought it was fantastic. Can you just get it on YouTube now?
Yeah,
Brilliant.
Go to YouTube and watch. I did an episode and I
did you. What did you play?
We played two games.
What did you play?
I think we played that Star Wars game.
Really?
Was it Battlefield?
We certainly played one game where none of us could do anything. And then you played a game that you were really good at. That you were like...
Rezogun.
Rezogun.
I'm one of the best in the world.
Rezogun.
You were up there as one of the best in the world for a while, weren't you?
Yeah, I'm 175th in the
world. Wow.
You got super serious, I remember, when we put that on. Well, not pretending.
With great ability comes great responsibility.
Yeah,
I had to give it respect.
You totally changed as a person because, as Dom will tell you, when I heard you were coming in, I'm a great fan of your work. I really am, James. Mm-hmm. I think you're a fantastic actor. And I think it shines in your life as well. I think the way you attack your characters, you also attack life. And I love to watch. And I always, always love to meet you whenever we bump into each other. So thank you very much for coming on The Friendship.
Oh, yeah, man. It's been great.
You guys have brightened my life very much.
Some brilliant stories about theatre as well. But hopefully, if anyone out there is watching or listening, can be really inspirational because... Man, that theatre life is just an amazing time in everyone's life as an actor, huh?
And if anyone has not seen Buffy, the Vampire Slayer, get back to episode one and watch it all. It's just a fantastic show and James is incredible in it.
Thank you,
James, Mike. Thanks for coming to see us and hopefully we've slightly changed your mind about
Lima
Beans.
Yeah, which is, I would have not believed. That you could have done that. Yeah.
Brilliant, James.
If you want the merchandise for Christmas, where do you find it, Dom?
Find it at thefriendshiponionpodcast.com.
That's where you get it. Merry Christmas, everyone.
See you, guys. Thanks for all the gifts. We'll keep opening them over the next couple of episodes.
See you on the next one.
Bye.
Bye.
With me and hold me tight all through the night. You're shining bright. I'm your oyster, baby. You're my pearl.
Lucky Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.